There is a Chinese saying, I told him twice, yeah, even thrice. Meaning to say that it was a very important matter that must be acted upon. God has spoken once to Nebuchadnezzar in his forgotten dream. Yeah, twice. Through the miraculous deliverance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In both cases, he acknowledged Daniel's God to be a God of gods. Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. Exalted the God who saved the Hebrew youths above all others, for there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Daniel 3:29. But he remained unconverted like stubborn King Saul, persisting in his own foolish ways. As Matthew Henry has said, strong convictions often come short of a sound conversion. So the Lord had to speak to Nebuchadnezzar a third time by his chosen vessel, Daniel. How marvelously this situation answers to Elihu's word in Job 33 verses 14 to 16. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Daniel chapter 4, a lengthy chapter of 37 verses, is not directly from Daniel's pen, but rather a letter written by Nebuchadnezzar to the subjects of his kingdom. Hence, it's a state paper prepared by the Babylonian king. It is a testimony of Nebuchadnezzar of a third ordeal he went through in his life, and now he must put in writing. Roman numeral 1. Introduction. Introduction. Daniel chapter 4 verses 1 to 3 reads, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Daniel incorporated this public decree in his book. When did the accounts happen? Likely Nebuchadnezzar had reigned at least 30 years before the events of this chapter began. There was ample time for him to consider God's dealings with him, as recorded in the first three chapters, and to observe the life of Daniel, one of his closest advisors. He had in fact been impressed with the testimony of Daniel and his three friends, Daniel 1:19, and learned of the true God, Daniel 2:47, but had already in practice forgotten what he had learned from Daniel chapter 3 verse 29. It has been questioned whether a mighty monarch would admit that he had been insane. However, Nebuchadnezzar stated his purpose in verse 2. He appeared to be giving public testimony of God's dealings in his life through this royal proclamation. As such, it forms one of the most unusual chapters in all the Word of God. The letter is more than an explanation of his absence. It's a personal testimony of his experience with God. Verses 2 to 3 says, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. What does Nebuchadnezzar say about God in these verses? He recognized that God's ways and works are greater than his own, that God's kingdom is everlasting. Is there a connection between humility and a high view of God? Yes. Those who are truly humble will see God as the ultimate authority in their lives. They will humbly submit to his authority. From reading the account, it seems that Nebuchadnezzar would never have written this letter unless he had come to genuine faith in God. And not only do we have the introduction, we have Roman numeral 2, the reception of the dream. The reception of the dream. Two explorers were on a jungle safari when suddenly a ferocious lion jumped in front of them. "Keep calm," the first explorer whispered. "Remember what we read in the book on wild animals? If you stand perfectly still and look the lion in the eye, he will turn and run." "Sure," replied his companion. "You have read the book. I've read the book. But has the lion read the book?" The two explorers had an encounter with a lion. Similarly, Nebuchadnezzar had an encounter with God. Few people had had the encounters with God that Nebuchadnezzar had. In the second dream, he learned of God's punishment for him. Letter A, the dread concerning the dream. The dread concerning the dream. Verses 4 to 5 reads, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions on my head troubled me." Nebuchadnezzar's dream came at a time when he described himself as at rest in my house. Verse 4. This means that affairs were running smoothly at home. He was in control. And also, he was flourishing in my palace. This speaks of prosperity for his kingdom. Flourishing has the idea of growing like a green tree. Palace suggests the center of his government from which his kingdom was ruled. The overall thought is that both in private and in public life, all was well. Peace and prosperity were evident at home and abroad. This fact reveals what a capable ruler he was. However, in this tranquil setting, God sent the dream that both disturbed and frightened the king. He recognized there was something in the dream that affected him. He was terrified, for he suspected the dream had an ominous message for him. Now, this has application for us believers today. How might living an easy life, free of stress or troubling circumstances, affect our dependence on God? Pleasant conditions could lead us to a life of complacency and of self-satisfaction. We do not see the need for dependence on God. We tend to move Him out of the picture as we plan our programs. We forget God. What might God do to show us our prideful self-reliance? He will bring unpleasant situations into our lives that He intends to use to bring us to Him. He will humble us to make us depend on Him. However, we need not experience the disciplining hand of God if we humble ourselves and give Him due credit for what He has done. Letter B, the decree concerning the dream. The decree concerning the dream. Verses 6 to 7 reads, "Therefore made I a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof." One thing to know the meaning of the dream, Nebuchadnezzar summoned his advisers as he had done in Daniel chapter 2, verse 2. However, this time, he told them the dream and asked only for the interpretation. The wise men again failed the king. In the first dream, it was because they did not know what the dream was. But this time, they failed to come up with an answer, even though there are books with guidelines on how to interpret dreams. They ought to have given him some interpretation, even if a faulty one. Perhaps they did offer an explanation which Nebuchadnezzar refused. Or perhaps they were too frightened to offer any explanation. Let us see the declaration of the dream. The declaration of the dream. Let's read verses 8 to 18 responsively, and I shall begin. Verse 8. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fat of it. I saw visions on my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rulers in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream, I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. What do people turn to when they experience trouble? A friend's advice? A means to escape reality? A harder, more concerted effort? When all else fails, try God. This seems to be the motto of many people today. Is this your motto too? Unwittingly, this was Nebuchadnezzar's motto when he turned to Daniel. The wording of his statement in verse 8 indicates that he was not truly converted in chapter 3. When Daniel appeared before the king, he was immediately recognized and eagerly addressed. The king believed that Daniel could do what the others could not, because the spirit of the holy gods was in him. Verse 8. It's possible that the king was assuming that the Babylonian deities were working in Daniel's life. However, since gods, the plural Elohim, may also be translated as the triune God, and the word is qualified with the adjective holy, it may be better to understand this as a reference to the God of Israel. The king, of course, knew Daniel's God from previous contacts with Jewish captives. The king then told Daniel his dream. He saw a great tree, fair and fruitful, a haven for birds and beasts. A supernatural being ordered the cutting down of the tree, scattering those whom he had sheltered. Verse 14. However, the stump was to remain, though exposed to the elements. At this point, the subject changed from the impersonal tree to a personal being, which the tree pictured, as seen from the pronouns and the attributes. His heart, his heart was changed from a man's to a beast until how many times? Seven times passed over him. We then read in verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. What was the purpose of Nebuchadnezzar's experience? That the people of the earth would know the Most High rules, and that he sets up kings as he wishes. Verse 17 is the theme of the entire book of Daniel. And the theme is that God reigns over the affairs of men. And so we have the introduction. We have the reception of the dream. We have Roman numeral 3, the revelation in the dream. The revelation in the dream. Having heard the dream, Daniel was shocked when he realized the seriousness of the message God had for the king. Noting that Daniel was reluctant to tell the meaning, the king prompted him to speak. Verse 19 reveals a mutual respect between these two men. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The king knew and appreciated Daniel's attitude and ability. Daniel undoubtedly respected the king's position and capable leadership. Daniel's hesitation in interpreting the dream was not because of uncertainty of meaning, but because it contained bad news. What bad news does it contain? This brings us to letter A, the identification of the details. The identification of the details. And verses 20 to 23 reads, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had a habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is growth and riches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. The tree that dominated all the earth was Nebuchadnezzar. The comparison was appropriate, for Nebuchadnezzar's dominion extended from Babylon westward to the Mediterranean and south to Egypt. As the animals found food and refuge in the tree, so Nebuchadnezzar's subjects enjoyed the benefits of his reign. Cross-reference with Daniel chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. Letter B, the interpretation of the dream. The interpretation of the dream. The problem was not in identifying the tree as the king, but rather in interpreting the cutting down of the tree and the events that followed. Let's look at verses 24 to 27. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever whatever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. As the tree was cut down, so Nebuchadnezzar will be driven from his throne. He will become insane and imagine himself an ox. Nebuchadnezzar's men literally put him out to pasture in one of the royal estates. And Nebuchadnezzar became the first drug addict in the Bible. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar became the first drug addict in the Bible. He was on grass for 7 years. Just kidding. They had the band of iron and brass around the stump, verse 23, may refer to a fence within which the king was kept, or it may refer to the fact the throne was held intact during his absence. As mentioned just now, this condition was to last 7 years, until the king acknowledged the sovereignty of God, particularly that God's rule was vastly superior to the king's own rule. The preservation of the stump in verse 26 indicated that he would resume his reign when he finally acknowledged God's sovereignty. Lastly, let us see the instruction by Daniel. The instruction by Daniel. And again, Daniel said in verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Daniel performed the work of a true prophet, delivering a harsh but necessary message. He set a good example by using the occasion to give a personal admonition to the king. It was a bold act, pointing out the king's sin and urging him to change his ways. Likely, Daniel was alluding to the harsh, unjust treatment of the poor in the building projects of Babylon, for which Nebuchadnezzar was so proud. Daniel also suggested that a change of life might result in a lengthening of thy tranquility. Daniel instructed the king in verse 27 concerning personal matters and wrongdoings. The king could have responded by calling for Daniel's imprisonment or death. Daniel's humility before God would not allow him to disobey God by holding back all a part of his message to Nebuchadnezzar. Here is another application for us believers today. Refusing to warn a fellow believer about his sin is a matter of pride, in that a person doesn't want to risk his own standing with the person. He is more interested in not causing an uncomfortable moment than he is in obeying God. A humble person will obey God in this matter and warn his fellow believer, just as what Daniel did to Nebuchadnezzar. So we have the introduction, we have the reception of the dream, and we have the revelation in the dream. It is paradoxical to have Nebuchadnezzar summon all the wise men of the realm to his side again when they could not recall the king's forgotten dream. Now this is a simpler test when Nebuchadnezzar's second dream is related in detail. Why are the Chaldeans, the magicians and astrologers fumbling in the dark? Because they do not have the Spirit of God. But a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. Not so with Daniel. In the words of St. Paul, "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. And Paul's statement is further expounded by John, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie." 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27. By way of analogy, there are many in the schools of theological learning today. Yeah, the professors and teachers, but these are modernists and liberals, the modern scribes and Pharisees, not born again and not having the Spirit of God. They are blind guides of the blind. They are like the Chaldeans, magicians and astrologers, speechless before the king. But one Daniel is more than them all. Another lesson we learn from Daniel's supremacy, because he could interpret the dream. A lesson is that every faithful student of theology must prepare himself, must study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth, so that in due time, when the occasion rises, he will receive his promotion. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What kind of effort should we give when learning the Bible? We should do our utmost to understand and apply the Bible correctly. Let's pray.